and as a church. So that's what we're going to do. The four things that the giving of the ideas, a little Q&A conversation, your individual time of reflection, and then a corporate time of sharing for yourselves in smaller groups. So that's how what's going to go on. And we're going to the second thing, which is where are we going? And the four things are really about one thing. It's about spiritual growth. You know, it's about growing from the inside out, right? That as part of the theme, as one people. So the first thing is going to be looking at roots. And what I mean by roots, it has to do with your family system. I think everyone here shares one thing at least in common. You all have a mom and a dad. I think, is that right? Yes, everyone does have a mom and dad. But who are moms and dads, and how they operated with us shapes a lot of who we are, not only in the past, but also in the present. Sometimes that past is a wonderful, time of just, childhood memories. Other times it's a little more complex than that. Sometimes it's downright painful. It doesn't necessarily have to do with mom and dad, but it has to do with the roots that we've laid down or set for ourselves. Some that are actually helpful, grow deep, give us, spiritual nutrients, but there's other things that strangle us. And so we're going to go pretty deep even this evening about those types of roots. And those of you who have families or having families of your own, this is something that's also vital to you, because you want to consider then how your family functions and how it might work and how you want a family that is freeing and that gives life to your children rather than oppressing. Sometimes it has to do with perspective. We're going to talk about that in the first session under roots. The second thing we're going to talk about is cultivation. And what's important in cultivating a lot of times is the environment in which a plant grows. And in this case, how you grow spiritually. And in this sort of session, we're going to talk about the life of the church, or a local church, or the church universal. What is the church for? How do you participate in it? And has it been life-giving to you or life-taking? Because it can be both. And we're going to explore some of the mysteries as to why God decides to, institute the church, how Jesus calls us together to be his people, and how some of the realities is that it's not always easy. So we're going to deal with some of those realities as well in the second session. The third session is about your personal growth. How do you grow from the inside out? What is the goal of your spiritual life, and how do you engage with God inside your own spiritual life? So the growth component as to, exploring how does that happen? And we'll be commenting on that. And the fourth and final session is about bearing fruit. And that is, what is the mission of your life? What is the purpose of your life? And what is the purpose of all of us here together as God's people? And how then do we navigate some of that? So there will be some of these things that we'll be visiting. There's some theological ideas, some historical ideas. But most of all, we want practical ideas as to what is it that God is calling you to in your life here, now, or especially back in Vancouver. One thing I understand is that retreats are great because we can be somewhat insulated and take the time to sort of concentrate, to listen. But where it becomes difficult, and we all know this, those of us who've been to retreat before, is when we get back into the city, all the old, routines come back into play. And the question is, can we, in this time away from the city, in a time of retreat, build in something into our lives that is strong enough, or allow God to speak to us in such a way that we continue to hear His voice when we return home? And that is what session four will be sort of moving towards. So that is the two things I want to talk about first, which is what we're doing, which is how this is all going to play out, and then the roadmap of where we're going. So now we get to the third item, and you can take us, we have a little bit of time here left to us. But like I promised you, it's open season. If you want to ask me a question, go ahead. If you're too afraid to ask a question, say, oh, that's all right, we're going to take a pass. I'm happy to take that too. But if you really do want to know something, I'm just going to give you the floor. Any questions? No one wants to know anything about me in particular? Oh, Gregory, my son. I did have a cowboy hat. I've had two. A black hat and a straw hat. But I haven't worn them for a decade and some. Yeah, I don't know where they are now. They're probably like in some secondhand store somewhere. Anything? Don't be timid. Yes, Tom in the back. Why did I go into ministry? That's a very interesting question. Basically, out of university, I had actually about, because I did English Lit. And you don't do a lot with English Lit, you know, except become a teacher. Journalism was something I was going to pursue. Or writing, creative writing. And I did have an interest because I was a part of a lot of campus ministry work as well at the University of Waterloo. So I tacked on the end, and it was actually in this order. I remember my final year. I said, maybe I'll go to seminary. Then I can get answers to the questions I have about God and everything else. Because I'm curious, right? I've been in church a long time. I'm in a Christian community. But I still have questions that are difficult questions. And I want to answer those questions. I want to explore those questions. So anyways, it came down to these things. My program got shut down at my school. They were starting, I would have been in the first wave, but that didn't work out. And then the second thing was, was it teaching? Didn't work out. Continuing my work in journalism. Journalism kind of got like, maybe not. It got very political because, you know, you kind of know how it kind of works once you know how the business works. It can be a little bit tough. The third one was, creative writing. Well, I was actually applying to, I think it was either UBC or Victoria, and they only allowed for two people out of province. So I didn't make that cut. It was very limited, so it was like a long shot. There actually was another one, which is continue to study some more in English Lit, but I was getting a little bit tired of it. Just reading more books and stuff. Because that would lead you into further studies, master's, doctorates, and you become a professor or something. And so these things kind of fell by the wayside in terms of my interests, so the programs didn't work out. And in the end, it was really funny because even though that was where I was in the beginning, everything flipped the other way around. I became more interested in ministry, more interested in theology than I was in all these other things. And the reason for this is this. It's because I really saw and loved the people of God. I loved my fellowship. I loved working with people. And I still had these burning questions in the back of my mind. You know, what is the Trinity? And, you know, why do we believe what we believe? Why is the church the way it is? Why are there so many different... And so any question you can ever think of, those were turning around in my head. And so I ended up going into seminary. I went to seminary because of my thirst to do two things. One of them was to learn about the truth of who God really was. And the second thing was I loved to serve the people of God. And those two sort of led me to just ministry, yeah, or at least a seminary. And in seminary, I was invited to serve in a church. I had written some article that a pastor in Vancouver had found. And he sort of called me up. He handed me down and said, hey, you know, you want to intern? I said, sure. And so I interned as a pastor. My intention, if I was going to do anything, is I was thinking of maybe being a missionary or something, you know, to teach somewhere overseas or to pastor overseas. But it came to be that I started in Vancouver, and that just kept going. So I didn't have this sudden call, you know, suddenly, you must go into ministry, you know, like this. I was more like slowly just the way that I was and continually open to God. And I had said in my life, you know, whatever you ask me to do, I'm going to do. So I'm going to do it. And it was a very natural outflow of the direction of my life that I interned in a church. I was a youth pastor. And then I was asked into ministry at another church. Some decisions had to be made after I graduated. And I was there for 12 years. And part of that reason why I was there for so long is because I loved the people. Sometimes I do ask God, you know, can I go now? You know, but it was always like, I love the people. you know, it's I'm called to them. And that's where my pastoral call came in. So thanks for that question, Tom. So it's a very natural part of my life, and God designed me this way. And I hope to do it as long as He asks me to. Any other questions? That was a big question. Smaller questions are also welcome. No? Yes.
Why did you like Battlestar Galactica?
Why do I like Battlestar Galactica? Oh, that's a good question. I love sci-fi as a start. So Star Wars, Star Trek. You know, Josh, I don't know which character were you. Were you Spock? When we were little kids, we had a closet that had all these mirrors, and we used to flash the light on and off and pretend we're in the transporter, okay? So sci-fi geekage is in my blood. And so, you know, we played that, we watched Star Wars, it was like, you know, so science fiction was really big and high on my, now the original Battlestar Galactica was not that cool, it was scary, you know, because I was younger then. But the new one is very interesting because they sort of changed it up. But what I find curious is that it brings in a lot of drama and politics into it. So it's a very mature themed, a sort of, you know, story. And the other thing I liked about this Battlestar Galactica is that it was contained within a 4-year season. Because it has an end. It's not one of I watch a lot of interesting different serials on television, and some of them are ridiculous, right? You know, like 24. You know, the writers have to keep the machine going. And so you kind of go, that doesn't work, you know? So that, you know, they're making stuff up, like, just out of nowhere. But when you have a contained story, I like that. Beginning, middle, end. And so I found it very interesting, and I like sci-fi, so that's how, that's why Battlestar Galactica. Yeah. And it's mature themes, so and I'm an adult. It's not like pew, pew, pew. No Ewoks, no Jar Jar Binks, you know, to wreck the thing for me. Good question. Anything else? Yes, Dan. Oh, that's a heavy-duty one. Okay, you can get my version, the short version now. You can ask her at a workshop she'll be holding later on. Actually, I met her in university. Great place to meet someone. In the Christian Fellowship. And my group leader was one of her best friends, was her roommate, or a housemate. They lived in the same house. And so our small group, she was my... her housemate was my small group leader, and we met at their house then. So I got to know her and see her, you know, through that. So, you know, I said, you know, she's an interesting girl. But as I got to know her, you know, what really attracted me to her was actually, you know, I don't know, I think she knows this, was actually the way that she was with people. She thinks the best of everyone. And she's always so cheerful. I'm not exactly like that. But the way that she treats other people is something that really, really leaves an impression on me. And hopefully is something that I learn from as well. So that's why, you know, so just by interaction through the fellowship and everything else, that's where I noticed her. And long story short, I told her I liked her. She was not of the same mind at the start. Our kids all know this too. I'm teaching my daughter to be selective. But I persisted, you know, I prayed about it, you know, I asked God, you know, please take away these feelings if this isn't going to work out, you know, this is a waste of time then. But the feelings didn't go away. So I actually held off for about a year having the same feelings, but those feelings didn't change. And so she checked in with me a year later, and I felt the same way. We had an intense conversation. And a positive one, but an exploring kind of way. And she sort of gave me a chance. So it seems like it worked out. That's a short version. Yeah. So you must have heard the real story. Or the long version. It's not the real story, but there's a lot of complications along the way, as there are in most, you know, stories about relationships. But the gist of it is that she gave me that chance, and... yeah, it worked out. And that's why you were MC at our wedding. Any other questions? Anything you like? big or small. Sometimes the little questions are more interesting, you know, the little things, the details. Yeah. I do. You want to see it? I carry today a Benchmade Barrage. Automatic, no opening knife. Now, I do not condone knife fighting. That's not what this is for. This is a pocket knife for utility and for cutting steaks when the store knives are too. Now, this is the reason why I carry one is that it's a throwback to one of my favorite pastimes, which is camping. I love camping. I've always camped for, you know, when I was young, it was, you know, just the thing I did. And so I still carry a pocket knife because there's utility to it. I can also open envelopes. Do you think that's what it's used for? It's more for, for opening envelopes and stuff like this. But sometimes it does come in useful, and that's why I have a knife. And that's what I carry. I actually carry one of two knives because I had a collection stolen once when my house was broken into. I carry this one. I also, for those of you who know knives, I carry a Spyderco as well, a G10. So, yeah, Endura version. What was that? Spyderco is a company. G10 is the kind of handle that it's made of. It's a more unique handle than the normal plastic fiberglass thing. And it's also called Endura, which is the model. It's a longer blade. Yeah, Spydercos are nice because they have a thumb hole, which means you can open them with one hand. So that's... What was that? Actually, I cut bigger steaks with the other one, the Spyderco. For those who know knives, it's got what we call a full flat grind, which means it slices better than the one I have, which is a half grind. That means that it stops. And a full flat grind is sort of like your chef's knife, which grinds it all the way up. A half grind or a three-quarter grind only grinds it only to here. And so there's a ridge. It's harder to slice through veggies and meat and stuff like this. So, yes, I know my knives. Do you have knives? Oh, nice. The native's nice. Yes. Search at the border. Sir, why are you carrying a knife?
I do have my Swiss Army knife.
Very useful. Good tool there. Any other thoughts or questions that you have? Oh, I say no. They never ask me. They don't ask me if I carry a knife. They usually ask me about the produce and so on. And a knife is legal to carry over the border, whether it's in your luggage or on your person, as long as it's not, you know, not a combat knife or a Bowie knife or machete or something. So it's not like, here, you want to see my knife? You know, that's not the first thing I ask them. So, yeah. There was a question back here in the back row here. Did someone have a... Am I a Mac or a PC? Well, I do have Apple products. I have an iPod Touch and I do have an iPad, but I usually function with a PC for just... for pure gaming power, it cannot be beat. Any other questions? That's an interesting question. Yes? Oh, that's a good question. My wife won't be too happy about this, although we had a conversation about it already. How much money have I spent on my guitars? A lot of my guitars are inexpensive guitars, the ones that actually I grew up with. So I remember the first guitars that I had were $300 classical guitars, like, you know, kind of starter guitars. I have probably about a $600 jumbo size Yamaha guitar. That's and I also, most recently, is the two guitars that are really the treasures in my collection is a Larrivé. It's just a DO3, which is a sort of a lower-end Larrivé guitar. It sounds fantastic. It's up there with, I played something like 70 guitars before I picked it up. You have to physically play these instruments to make sure that they have the right tone. So after playing 70 of them, including, you know, the name brands of Taylor's and Martin's, this one was, for the money, the best thing. And then I do also have a, most recently, the prize of my collection is a Gibson custom, Les Paul. Yes. No. Not really. So it's not like B.B. King's Lucille or something like this. No. No, I don't. Yes. And just for the record, my wife and my children are more important than my guitars. You know. Although I do get upset if we start, you know, ratcheting on them. No, I don't assign genders to my guitars. Although I have recently thought about maybe naming them, but haven't gotten there yet. Good questions. Yes. What kind of graphic novels do I collect? I collect actually all kinds of graphic novels. Some of them ranging from, you know, the old school DC comics to Marvel comics. You know, like, you know, Superman and usually the, you know, the whole bunch of them. I don't have Avengers comics, but I have like the Spider-Man ones. So specific comics I will have. And I prefer them in graphic novels. I used to have probably hundreds and hundreds of them when I was a kid. So my allowance money went towards buying comics. But my parents got rid of them. They got wrecked when I went off to university. So that was heartbreaking. But now that I'm adult, an adult, I don't have time to collect the serials. Like, you know, how they, you know, have a whole bunch. So I just collect them one by one. So a lot of them are just either independent comics or characters I enjoy. You know, I've got my Batman stuff, you know. And also, I also collect other types of graphic novels as well. So I might collect certain collected Japanese ones or in European graphic novels as well. I'm not too much a stickler for it, but I do have a special shelf that they all sit there. Yes. Yes. No, I used to be like that. Every comic had a bag and a backing. But now I'm just going to keep them on my shelf. And graphic novels actually hold up better than single comics because they're cheaper paper, the old comics. Now the graphic novels, I have hardcovers and so on, things like that. Good question. Do you like graphic novels? Do you read them at all? Or? Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to have to talk about that. You bind them. I should talk to you. I do have some soft covers. No. Yeah, I prefer comics to be read and not just museum pieces. Just like my guitars are not museum pieces. They're meant to be played. So. No, I cannot. No, sorry. No Klingon for me. I don't eat gak, or whatever that is. The wiggly worms, or whatever. Do you speak Klingon?
No, I have no sense of it.
Okay. No, so I'm more less involved. I'm not one of the dress-up cosplay guys, so. All right. Any other thoughts or questions? We're going to wind this up in a couple minutes, but if you want to just, you know, get one in. Yeah, Josh? Is that your hand? Or did someone, or did you twitch?
Why is the soap in the Frank Kennedy building terrible?
I don't know. Are you talking about, our childhood? It was outdoors. It wasn't inside. Oh yes, I remember that. I forgot what the joke was. When we were little kids, we used to go to a mini university at the University of Manitoba. I think he told me some joke. We were having lunch, and I had purple grape crush or something, and I ended up like spewing it all over the place on that particular couch. It wasn't my fault. So yeah, that's the story he's referring to. Yes. Faith Community Christian Church was started 3.5 years ago. It's currently, I think the best way to describe it in terms of location is we meet in the Dunbar Community Center on Sundays, but we're all over the city, like in terms of our home groups during the rest of the time. So All I tell you about it is that Faith Community is a small church. There's about 60 people or so, including about 20 kids, and it really is the kind of community that, you know, as a church that we began, is I asked, what God would want me to do after I finished my ministry at the church I was at for 12 years. And I found that there was a need in particular for the types of values and for the people that I cared about to go to, a place where they can go. And so Faith Community has become the kind of church that I would want to go to even if I wasn't the pastor. That's how much I enjoy that church community. And it really is, I think, you'll actually hear a lot more about my values and understanding of what church is when we talk about cultivation, about what the life of the church is. And for me, it's been a wonderful experience of both healing and hope and just a growth as well, learning how to deal with challenges relationally and everything else. So it's been a very positive experience. Not necessarily an easy one, but a very good one for me. So maybe those are some of the things about the church I really enjoy. And we're continuing on doing what we do. Any other further questions, like more details that you wanted to know about? Or?
We can ask for
the
time to move on.
Okay, sure thing. Question way in the back.
Hi.
Hello. When I have children and they go away, like on a retreat and so on, well, this is the first time I brought them along to a retreat. Most of the time I work solo, mainly because it's actually for me has a simplicity to it, because I just go into a camp and I just do what I do. So today, this weekend is going to be an experiment, but I'm excited to have them here because they get to see me do what I do. And this is their first time of doing that. Hi. But in terms of the rest of the time, as a pastor of an independent community, I spend more time trying to juggle that at home. I don't think it's a perfect mix because I work, my study is in my basement. And a pastor's schedule is here, there, everywhere. And I try to take then my days with the children when I can, especially if it's not during the summer. I will catch them after school. And this is not always perfect because sometimes I've got something on my plate that I got to carry through on. But hopefully I can get that time in before I rush off to other groups. One of the new things that's happening in our church community that's been very helpful is that I've been giving off responsibility to people in terms of group leadership. So actually I have time to be with the family more in the evening and also to meet with people and deal with other things during the evenings. So it really is a balancing act. But you'll have to ask my wife whether she's happy with that one. It's an ongoing thing, because as life stages change, as the children grow up, I'm sure those dimensions will change. So it's about really, checking with my wife. To she's the one who keeps me, saying if I need more time with the family, she'll let me know. So it's about listening to her needs and her sensitivities towards the children and so on. Yeah. Thanks for that question. Anything else? I think this is maybe the last one. Oh, yes, we have one. Here.
Are you a roaster or a
griller? Am I a roaster or a griller? I am definitely a griller. I mean, depending on if you're saying if I'm using a grill or an oven. I am definitely a griller. Yeah. Barbecue. That's why I trim my own tenderloin, right? I can cut them either filet mignon or... I haven't tried the Chateaubriand yet, but we'll think about that. All right. Let me just close us off. If you have more questions, I'm available. I'm just going to wander around. I'm available to you the whole time if I'm not minding the kids. But I think, they'll be around. But do feel free to have a chat with me. I'd love to get to know some of you.